Welcome to an Impact Ministries production, brought to you by Impact Ministries World Changers, changing the way the world sees God. Learn how you can become a world changer today by visiting www.impactministries.com. Now, here's your host, founder of Impact Ministries and developer of Heart Physics, the self-development programs that have changed thousands of lives around the world, Dr. Jim Richards.
Hello, I'm Jim Richards. This is Impact Ministries. I want to welcome you to this broadcast. We are continuing in this series, Breaking the Cycle. Man, if there was ever a great New Year's series to listen to, this is the one that you want to devour. Because you know what? Instead of just setting new goals, instead of making New Year's resolutions and just having them all go wrong again, it's time for us to learn why we keep going into these disruptive cycles and break these cycles, and we can. Listen, today's program, I'm going to be talking about being saved from yourself. You know, people talk about being saved from sin, people talk about being saved from the devil, people talk about being saved from hell. I got news for you. One of the greatest aspects of salvation for me was that I got saved from myself. This entire program, as well as this series and all of our broadcasts, can be found at impactministries.com. Be sure and check them out. We keep them up there for your edification. This year, you don't need to make a New Year's resolution to start something new. You need to make a resolution to put a stop to your destructive cycles. Breaking the Cycle, the book and the CD series, is our special offer this month. You can download it. You can start studying it tonight if you want, or you can order and get the hard copy. But the main thing is you can have the tools so that when you make a decision about what you're going to do with your life, you can see it through all the way to the end. Breaking the Cycle, it's going to change your life. You know, in last week's broadcast, we talked about a righteousness that you can feel. And remember, righteousness is not what religion has defined it to be. Man, you know, I would give anything in the world if I could just take every believer that I knew and erase from their memory the religious definitions of words. You know, you don't think that definitions are important, but I want to tell you something. Once you believe that a word means a particular thing, then every single time you read that word or hear that word, your mind, or more than that, your feelings go to whatever your old definition is. And it's a really challenging thing to come up with new definitions that when you hear, think, or say those words, they actually have a different influence on you. You know, I shared this with you last week, but when I developed the Prayer Organizer, which the Prayer Organizer is one of those tools, it's like every tool. You know what? The more a tool offers you the opportunity for true freedom, the more it can be misused, if you want to misuse it, for something destructive. Prayer Organizer is one of those things that can get you on a track for worship and prayer and setting your life in order and connecting to God. Or you can do what some people do, turn it into legalism and something that you have to do to feel right about yourself. And that's not the go there. But in the Prayer Organizer, you know, when I developed that whole concept, you know, one of God's names is Jehovah, our righteousness. You see, He is our righteousness. The righteousness that we have is from Him. It was given to us through the Lord Jesus, because the Lord Jesus obtained the free gift of righteousness by His faith when He was raised from the dead. So we have as a gift the righteousness of God. And so in the Prayer Organizer, you know, I took the names of God. God's our righteousness. I connected that to the fact that we're in Jesus and all the promises of God about being righteous. But if you'll remember this, I mentioned that what I did, see, I created a way of internally seeing myself. When I would confess the Scripture, and I'd say, Father, I thank You that You're the Lord God, my righteousness. And I thank You that because I am in Jesus, I am righteous. I share in His righteousness. I created an image inside of me of what I look like if I am as I should be. And that's what righteousness really means, that you are as you should be. Now see, we think about that only in terms of moral aspects. But the truth is, this has to do with health, this has to do with happiness, this has to do with my emotions, this has to do with my energy, this has to do with my finances, this has to do with every part of my life. Is my life as it should be based on the fact that I am sharing in the resurrected life of Jesus? And so I created not just a definition based on what the word really means in the original language, but I created a concept so that every time I would say that word, every time I would think that word, every time I would read that word, I would have this feeling of being as I should be, totally accepted, totally loved, totally approved before God, totally declared innocent, totally free from my past. And so righteousness becomes a feeling. I mean, it's a truth. It's based on the Word of God. You know, we're not being led by feelings. We're taking the Word of God and saying, based on what this means, is this what I feel when I think this? Is this what I feel when I say this? And so, the last week we talked about a righteousness that you can feel. Man, I'll tell you what, you want to get to where every time you read a scripture about righteousness or think about righteousness, you have this real positive, healthy feeling about who you are before God. You're qualified. You know, you're sanctified. You're set apart. You belong to God. You're as you should be. All the promises are yours. And you get this sense about yourself because you got to realize that you did get a righteous nature when you were born again. And when you were born again, all of God's laws and everything that they imply, it's not just about writing rules on your heart. God's not interested in rules. Because, the truth is, law is true. The commandments are true, but they're not truth unless they are applied from faith and love. You see, if commandments are not applied from faith and love, then they're going to be legalistic, they're going to be condemning, they're going to be negative, they're going to be destructive, and it will destroy you because of the way you approach it. Not because there's anything wrong with the commandment, but because if you turn it into something that's not, it absolutely will destroy you. So you got born again and you got a new righteous nature, and all that God meant and implied in everything that He said has been written on your heart. Now, you have what the Bible calls a conscience. Now, a conscience, the word conscience comes, it's a compound word that means dual knowledge. And so you see, we have two sources of knowledge. We have the source of knowledge now that comes from within us. This source of knowledge that says that I am righteous, that I'm a new creation, that I love what God loves, I hate what God hates, you know, I am as He is. And all of that is really on the inside of me. And this emerges into my being intuitively. But then I have another source of knowledge, and that source of knowledge is information that I have gathered, or things that I have learned, or the way that I see and think about things based on all of my life's experience, based on my education, based on what I've been taught, based on what religion said, what government said, what my parents said, what my teacher said, what my enemy said, what my friend said, all of these things. Now, when the witness inside me that God is bringing forth is in disagreement with what my mind is saying, I now have a conflict internally. And this internal conflict becomes the source of incredible, incredible discomfort. It can even become the source of pain, I tell you. Now see, a lot of people think this is God making you feel guilty because you're not doing right. See, we take the word conviction of the Holy Spirit. And see, some people, because they don't understand the biblical concept of conviction, they just say, well, see, God, the Holy Spirit doesn't convict believers. Well, yes, He does. If the Holy Spirit's leading you, He's convicting you because He's... See, the word convict means really to convince or to persuade. So the Holy Spirit's always trying to persuade you that you are righteous. He's always trying to persuade you are who God says you are. He's always trying to persuade you that you have victory over sin, the devil. That everything about God is true. That's the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And He's always trying to lead you into the application of that. But see, the problem is when the way I think, when my point of view, when my opinions are different then what God says about me, what God says about this situation, what God says about how to handle this situation, when my opinions are different than God's, internally, there's going to be distress and discomfort. And this is not God doing this to me. This is the fact that I now have a new nature, but I have not renewed my mind. I do not think in harmony with who I am now that the old me is dead and now that there's a new me. Everybody, every believer, it seems like knows 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. All the old has passed away. All things have become new. So you're a new creation, but I got news for you. You can be incredibly conflicted even though you are a new creation because you still think the way you used to think. You're still making decisions the way you used to make decisions, and your life is off track just like it used to be. But the problem is internally there's something more unsettling about it now than it was then. You know, I hated my life before I got saved. I hated my life before I started walking with God. But it was all that I knew. I didn't really feel like I had any options. I didn't have any sense of myself as being anything other than what I was being. But you know, you get born again, and now you have this sense of yourself or this hope of yourself being this new person, living differently, making decisions differently. Now let me tell you something. If that is not part of your intention as a new believer, you're in trouble. You're going to be tormented. Because if you have no intention of changing the way you make decisions, if you have no intention of applying the Word of God, then you've got to question whether or not you ever actually made a commitment to Jesus as Lord. Because salvation comes as a result of making a decision, confessing Him as Lord. And if I confess Him as Lord, then I am confessing that I want to be His disciple, that I want Him to be my master, I want Him to be my teacher, I want to follow Him, I want to walk in His ways. I want to live like He lived. Now, you got to understand something. If you don't change the way you think, if you don't change the way you handle problems, if you don't change the way you do things, getting your sins forgiven, getting born again, will not benefit you at all in this life, and it won't benefit the people around you in this life. You know, everybody knows the definition that you know, to do the same thing you've always done and expect a different outcome is insanity. I got news for you. There's a lot of insane Christians. They got born again, but they still think the way they always thought. They still handle problems the way they always handle problems. You know, for years I was a certified substance abuse counselor. We had a clinic here. I was a detox specialist. I trained at Lincoln Hospital in the Bronx in New York, and as a detox specialist and having our own clinic, we worked with hundreds of people who had substance abuse problems. But I'll tell you something that was really interesting. Many times in working with people who had substance abuse problems, let me put it this way, many times in working with families where substance abuse was prevalent, one of the things that you would run into is there would be someone in the family who wasn't actually a substance abuser, but they acted like a substance abuser. They tried to solve problems the same way an alcoholic father would try to solve problems. They tried to, you know, everything that they did was based on what had been modeled to them by an alcoholic or a drug addict parent. Now, in substance abuse terminology, that's what you would call a dry drunk. A dry drunk is a person who maybe they've stopped drinking or they stopped using drugs, or maybe they've never used drugs, but everything about the way they think, everything about how they try to solve problems, everything about how they handle relationships is based on what was modeled to them by drug addict or alcoholic or dysfunctional parents. Now, I got news for you. There are millions of believers that are dry drunks. There are millions of believers. You might say this, there are millions of believers that are dry sinners, if you will. They got born again. They received and experienced forgiveness, but their life is still a mess. Because, you see, they didn't understand that as much as anything else, in order to get saved from sin, you have to get saved from yourself. Because remember, sin is not just the things that you do wrong. Sin in its purest sense, or in its most initial and fundamental sense, is the failure to believe and perceive yourself as God sees you. And from that becomes dysfunctional behavior. So you see, when we don't see ourselves or believe that we are who God says we are, don't believe that we have what God says we have or can do what God says we can do, then we function the same way we function before we were born again. Now the problem is we've got this righteous nature. And now we can't live with ourselves. We can't live with doing things the painful, dysfunctional, mean, ugly, selfish, self-centered way that we used to do them. You know, God wants you to have the very, very best. Now, Jesus is described as the good shepherd. As a matter of fact, in John 10:10, when it says that he's come that we might have life and have it to his fullest or have it abundantly, you know, that message is spoken in the context of him being the good shepherd. Now, in order to experience him as our shepherd, in order to experience him leading me into life better than I've ever known it, I got to follow him. Well, in order to follow him, I got to know his voice. Now that's more than just intuitively. It would be great if just intuitively we recognize the voice of God and said, "Woohoo! You know, I'm born again. I never have to make another decision. Here I hear God. I'm just going to follow God." But you know, the problem is, if we haven't renewed our mind to think about things the way God tells us to think about things. Now, he's not telling us to think about things just because he wants to control us. I want to tell you, there's a thing I call the Luciferian spirit. And I'll tell you, if you get my new End Times book, I don't have a title for it yet. It'll be released just shortly. But if you get my new book, you're going to understand the struggle that has gone on between Lucifer and mankind since the fall of Lucifer. You're going to understand what goes on in the world. You're going to understand how governments get where they are and how the world has gotten where it is. You see, the Luciferian spirit is the spirit of iniquity. And iniquity rejects God's word, God's morals, God's values, and God's standards, and says that all of that is legalism, and all that is controlling, and all of that, you know, all of that is bad, and that's not freedom. Well, I want you to understand, that doctrine, that kind of thought, came into planet Earth through Lucifer. And Lucifer fell when iniquity was found in him. Iniquity was the twisting and the rejecting of God's word as the absolute standards of values, morals, truth, you know, light, everything that has to do with anything good. And so through vain philosophy, we have rejected what God says is good. We've rejected how God says to do things. And we've taken on humanistic philosophy. We've taken on the lies of psychology and psychiatry. I'm not saying everything in psychiatry or psychology is a lie, but I'm saying the basic premise is not based on the fact that we are children of God, created in the likeness and the image of God, and that our ultimate destiny can only be found and experienced when we give our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. So most people, when they think of God's word, they think of something that's going to control you. They think of something that's going to force you to do what you don't want to do. Let me read something to you from the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, 3rd and 9th verse. It says this: "Therefore know this day and consider it in your heart that the Lord himself is God in heaven above and on earth beneath, and there is no other. You shall therefore keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you today." Listen, not so that it'll make you righteous, not so that it'll make God love you. Listen to this: "that it may go well with you and with your children after you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God has given you for all time." God is saying, look, I don't need you to believe my word and obey my word to help me. It doesn't help me. It helps you. I am giving this to you for your good. Deuteronomy 5:29 says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear me. Now that word for fear is not talking about being afraid that God would punish you, because this is a word for fear that Jesus quoted and Jesus interpreted as worship. And we know that this word fear in the Hebrew means to hold in high esteem, to have awe and respect, and that it leads to love, trust, and worship. It's not talking about being afraid he's going to hurt you. As a matter of fact, we know for a fact that when you experience the love of God, it drives fear out of you. So he says, oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would reverence me and trust me and always keep my commandments. Why? So that it will make God happy, so that it will make God be in a good mood, so that God would bless you, so that you could be anointed, so that you could be righteous. No, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. How many times have I heard people say, you know, too bad we didn't get an owner's manual when we came into this life. Well, we did. It's called the Bible, but we don't believe it. Don't understand it. Religion has made it so complicated and so weird and so legalistic that just the very idea of following God sounds like something that would take your life away, that would bind you up, that would restrict you, that would limit you from all the things that could be fun. I want to tell you something. God wants you to live in righteousness. And righteousness is when life is as it should be. See, that's what Jesus was talking about when he says, here's how you need to be praying. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, there's not any sick people in heaven. There are any sad people in heaven. Not any broke people in heaven. Not any angry people in heaven. Heaven's not falling apart, full of dysfunction. Jesus said, you want it to be here on earth just like it is in heaven. But I'll tell you what else there isn't in heaven. There isn't any iniquity. There is no human philosophy. There's no human psychology. There's no false science. There are no lies of Lucifer. There is no concept of God being a bad God, an angry God, a wrathful God. There's just people that see and experience God's love and experience life to the fullest. That's what God wants for you. Now, that starts when you get born again, yes, but it also continues when you deliver yourself from that sin, that sin idea of who you are. When you deliver yourself from the idea that you're not who God loves. You're not what God loves. That God's not for you. He's not against it. You've got to earn righteousness. You've got to become something. You see, if you were to read through the New Testament, take every scripture where you see the words in Him, through Him, by Him, for Him, with Him. And by the way, that's all in the prayer organizer. If you want to, and you can order your prayer organizer, you can download it however you want to get it, and you can get all these scriptures, start meditating on them and using them to worship and confess the Word of God and pray and all that kind of stuff. But all of these scriptures are identity scriptures. When you see the in Him, through Him, by Him, with Him, for Him, and all those, and many others. You see, these identity scriptures, these scriptures show you who you are now that you are in Jesus. And when you begin to believe the truth about who you really are in Jesus, you're doing what the Bible calls renewing your mind. And as you renew your mind, you are now harmonizing your thought life with your true righteous nature. And I got news for you. When you harmonize your thought life with your true righteous nature, then your thoughts, your emotions, your beliefs, and your feelings harmonize with the truth. And you start feeling righteous. And when you start feeling righteous, you start making decisions that a righteous person would make. You know, and I've said this thousands of times, but if you feel desperate, the next decision you make about business, money, your job, prosperity, it'll be a desperation decision and it'll probably go bad. If you feel lonely, the next relationship encounter you have, you'll make that out of loneliness or lack. And so remember, it's always lack that makes us vulnerable. You see, if you feel anything other than whole, complete, loved, accepted, approved, if you feel anything other than that about yourself, then you don't believe the truth about yourself. And therefore, you have sinful beliefs. In other words, beliefs that are not in harmony with who you really, really, really are in Jesus. You know, walking with God is not about trying to do enough things to please you. To please God, you please God when you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, walking with God, enjoying this abundant life, happens as you harmonize your thoughts with God and you follow your shepherd. I'll be back with the mentoring moment. Just 1 second. I am so glad that you are part of this program. So glad I'm getting the chance to speak to you. Man, I tell you what, I live and breathe for the opportunity to share the love of God with people like you and people all over the world, because we are living in a day when people are opening their ears. They're tired of religion. They're tired of legalism. They're tired of goofiness. People want to know God and people want to help others. And I'm going to tell you something, what a great day. You know, just doing a meeting the other day, and it was a small group of people, a new church just getting going. And afterwards, somebody, a minister came up to me and said, Jim, I respect you so much that you're able to come to meetings like this and help a small group get going. You know, how is it that you always do it? Well, you know, and I told him, I said, we do this because of our world changers. World changers are people who give monthly to get books out, CDs out, videos out, I-groups started, churches started, trained Bible school students all over the world. If you want to be a world changer, contact me. Let me share with you. You know, a good friend of mine was preaching one time and he said this, and these words just stuck with me. He said, sometimes success is not about what you start, it's what you stop. You know something, breaking the cycle, the book and the CDs are going to help you just bring a stop to the destructive cycles in your life. You know, there's no need to keep trying new things until you stop the things that happen over and over again that bring destruction and pain to your life. Be sure and get it, breaking the cycle. All right, we're talking about the mentoring moment. You know, the mentoring moment is just where I try to give you something where you can apply this truth that you learned. Doesn't do any good to hear the truth if you're not going to put it into practice. So what I want you to do is this. I want you to, and we've done something sort of like this already, but I want you to write down some areas of your life that are not going the way you want them to. It may be your finances. It may be your marriage or your relationships. Now remember, you have no control over anybody else. You only have control over yourself. But I want you to write down maybe the top three places. You say, you know, these are three areas, and this is how my life is going. Then I want you to, on the left side of that, I want you to write down, in this area of my life, how do I see myself? How do I feel about myself? Do I see myself as being somebody that can have a great love life, a great marriage? Do I see myself as even being somebody that can be happy? Maybe if it's finances, you know, do I feel worthy of prospering and succeeding, or do I feel like it's wrong or ungodly to prosper? In other words, how do I see myself? How do I feel about myself in these top three areas? Then I want you to go over on the right side of that, and I want you to write down, How should I feel about myself if I want this area to change? So you know, you may say, you know what, area I'm struggling in is area of finances. Well, how I feel about myself is I don't deserve anything better than that. Then you might come on this other side and say, you know, because I'm in Jesus, all my desires are met. All my needs are fulfilled. All my desires are fulfilled. Because I'm in Jesus, all the promises of God are yes. And then go over there and write down, based on feeling this way, what could my life look like? How should my life be going? See, that's what righteousness is. How should it be? How could it be? Not should in the sense of you ought to, you need to, and there's something wrong with you if you don't, but how should it be in light of what Jesus has done for you? Man, I want to tell you something. You can identify these destructive beliefs, feelings, and emotions. You can see how they're affecting your life, and you can write new things on your heart. Listen, let me just mention to you, be sure and download our mobile app onto your phone or your tablet. I am launching a new campaign this year of sending out positive, encouraging things that God has given to me. I'm going to send them out every single day, and I want to make sure that you get them.
Thanks for listening to the weekly Impact Ministries World Changers podcast with Dr. Jim Richards. If you like what you've just heard, we encourage you to share our web address, www.impactministries.com, with friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out the resources section of our website for previous podcasts, videos, and our monthly Impact magazine. Join us next week for another great message by Dr. Jim Richards.